You may be seated. Eloise's song, sometimes they just take me to somewhere in my, you know, when I close my eyes, if I'm ever just, my eyes remain closed, just say, Pastor, you know, get on up. They take me to, I guess, different places in my past, in the world. I love her playing. Thank you, Eloise. We're going to stay in Luke one more week. We're going to move on to chapter 8. Just going to pick right up where we left off last time, and we're going to go look at today in the sermon. We'll look at Luke 8, 1 through 21. But I'm going to read through verse 8, and I'm doing that for a reason. So let's imagine we're the first hearers of Luke's gospel, and it's being read to us. And so we're hearing the story, and here we are today, Luke chapter 8. Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed from evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you've studied the parables before, probably in the Sunday school class over the years. If not all of them, then some of them. And you've heard them described that Jesus took situations from everyday life, and he would tell stories with them, and so they're often can be portrayed as very simple and easy to understand. But the fact is, the parables they're dynamic. They're used for a reason that is almost can be kind of beyond us. And that's why we stopped where we did. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now see, we've all heard it so many times, we already know what Jesus is going to explain it. But try to go back there and imagine you hear this before you've heard the explanation. It's mysterious, isn't it? It's not obvious. It's not obvious. These parables are parables of the kingdom. They're parables about Jesus and the Word of God, and it's his response that he receives here on earth. One pastor and commentator took this whole section as one, from 1 through 21. I was impressed with that, and I decided to take it as a whole, so we're going to look at this 1 through 21 briefly today. We have a clue here as to what's going to come with these parables. And by the way, the parable of the sower is really the chief parable after which all the other parables make sense. And some of this has to be after it's all happened, after Jesus has lived, after he's died, after he has arisen from the dead, and even as the Bible continues to be written. But this is the chief parable, you know, that kind of oversees or helps interpret all the rest of the parables. So he went throughout the cities proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is doing. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what he says earlier in the book of Mark. His apostles want him to get back to work, healing and all that. He says, no, I must go to another town and continue preaching. That's why I came. So here at the beginning, we're kind of given a clue what's going on here. He's preaching the good news of the kingdom. Then it tells us something about those who are with him. And we're told here, and I'm going to move to the end also, because it kind of brackets this section. Here we have the workers of the word, those who are with him. We have his 12. So the 12, particularly the ones that are going to be called apostles, minus Judas, and then adding Matthias later on. We have the 12. Then we're told about these ladies who have been healed or of evil spirits, saved out of challenging lives, and that they are traveling with him, and that they are actually supporting Jesus and the disciples as they go. I mean, think about it. Jesus, we're told, never had a place to lay his head throughout his ministry. Once he left home and left the carpenter shop and the home of Mary and Joseph, he's traveling with nowhere to lay his head. His disciples, who we can imagine, and we hear about some of them, have wives and children. They left their vocations and are traveling now as full-time traveling ministers. So we have these ladies who have been saved, who have been, and now they're committing their lives here in this period of time to supporting the Lord and his work. The Lord continues to use members of the church to support the Lord and his work through supporting pastors and associate pastors and assistant pastors and missionaries and church staff. This is a ongoing workers of the word. We're all in this together. Now, I'm going to go ahead and, not just for the sake of time, but actually it actually makes sense. I've realized to go ahead and, I didn't put it in your notes here, but to go ahead and look at the end of the chapter. The end of this section. Because it explains more of, in a sense, the workers of the word. And it does it with a contrast that's kind of rough right here, but that comes around in the end. Verse 19. His mothers and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. Now Luke, a rather dignified historian and physician, doesn't tell us what some other Mark through Peter tells us, that they actually thought he was crazy at this point in their life. But we'll go with what Luke says, since we're looking at Luke's gospel, because either way, the crux of the matter comes through. He was told, your brothers and sisters are outside wanting to see you. But Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. No, he's not diminishing his biological family there. I mean, this is his mother and his half-brothers and half-sisters. But he's making a point. I'm here for a short time, but my word will stand forever. My family, the workers of the word, are those in my family, are those who hear the word and do it. Those who respond in faith and cast all their cares upon the Lord, receive him alone for salvation and nothing of themselves, and then after that, bear fruit, the fruit of repentance and faith. The workers of the word, we're a part of those. Have you heard the word of God? Have you trusted him? Are you doing it? If not, let today be the day you call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, become a part of his family, and become a worker of the word in your own special way amongst the providential circumstances within which God has placed you. We have a community. We're in a community here. God's family. And so then we're told that a great crowd was gathering, and he said to them in a parable. And he tells a parable of which we're very, very familiar. And again, this is the parable, is the one with the key to unlock the other parables. And we're going to see the mystery of this. Now again, Again, I'm just going to briefly go over it. So a sower goes out, he sows a seed, all right? Some seed falls on the path, some on rocky ground, some among thorns, and some in good soil. So very obviously, the seed on the path gets trampled upon. It's just there for critters to come and eat it. Some goes into rocky soil. And what they're getting at here in rocky soil is not soil just kind of with rocks mixed in, but soil that's just kind of the soil is laying upon a layer of rock, so that that little bit of soil with moisture, the sprout will come quickly, but then the root has nowhere to go. So again, when the sun gets hot and it withers. Even us city folk right here in the city of the people can understand this. The one fell in the thorns. Now, I see these the most in our shrubbery at our house in Tuscaloosa. The same thing happened at the manse in Greensboro. Myself and my older boys did the yard work in Greensboro back in the day, and y'all know those little thorny things that start. They're right all around the where the kind of the trunk of the shrubbery, and they grow all the way up through it. They stick out the top. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's kind of what comes into my mind, and we know it's even worse when we have a garden or a farm. But then some falls in the good soil. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, you have to wonder, what did they get from that? Now, we're told later on his disciples ask him. And he's going to describe responses to the word. And there's a mystery here. So again, he describes to them, and I'm going to get some help from a theologian who kind of spelled this out in a really neat little way here. We first of all, he explains it to them. Again, this is in I'm going to explain it, then I'm going to go back to verse 9 and 10. Let me explain it first, then we're going to go back, because that's going to eventually kind of transition us to the third point. So let's explain it. Okay. We have the hard soil, that's the rejecting heart. The hard soil is the rejecting heart. Verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. And the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. The hard soil, the rejecting heart. We have the shallow soil, or the superficial heart. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. We've seen these folks before. Maybe you were once one of them. But God's been gracious, and though you fell away, you've come back. But receive it. You know, you see this this burst of activity. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The shallow soil, the superficial heart. It looks good at first, but it doesn't last. Unfortunately, we know these folks. The weed-infested soil, or the unfruitful heart. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. The enticements of the world, the pleasures of the world, maybe just the worries of the world. They're just trying to make it in this world, but then they lose sight of what I tried to emphasize a little while ago, of our dependence upon the Lord. They lose sight of their dependence upon the Lord, and it's just, they just go after it, but they're going after it in the world's ways, and eventually they've forgotten all about the Lord and all about that day that they received His word in the first place. It's almost like a dream. They remember it kind of like a dream. And then the good soil, those who hear it, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. The soil is the heart. Is the heart hard like Pharaoh's? Or is the heart malleable, soft? I mean, we're actually told in Ezekiel, I will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. There's a mystery here. Responses to the word. Again, let's just pause. Have you responded to this word? It's very simple. No, there's more to it. We grow, we mature, but he says, call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. There's one name under heaven given among men and women by which we must be saved, Jesus. Trust in him. He says, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Trust in me. Here it is, that Jesus took your sins, and what he does is he actually takes your sins in a transfer and gives you his righteousness. And then you'll live a life bearing fruit, honest and good heart, bearing fruit with patience. Responses of the word. But this is a mystery to it because he tells them why he speaks in parables. To you it is, this is back in verse 10, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now that's a quote from Isaiah. When Isaiah was preaching God's word to a disobedient people, they hadn't been... Boy, in Isaiah's time was prior to the Assyrians coming. We had two levels of the exile. We had the Assyrians came to the northern kingdom and scattered it, never to be returned. Later, Babylon came to Judah, and we had what we call the exile and then the return from the exile. But the reason all that happened was a people refusing God's word. And what we learn here, and we learn in Isaiah, and we learn here, and it's spelled out, is that rejecting the word, first of all, there's the mystery of God, but then there's the work of the word. God's word, when it's preached, when it's read, when it's shared with one another, there's all different ways of it. The primary way of, you know, in the growing of the church is the preaching, and then the reading and the teaching. You know, in our day, we're able to have Sunday school classes, small groups. We have Bibles. You can read the Bible on your own. The word, it either brings you to God, or as you reject it, it pushes you further from God. It either brings salvation or judgment. It doesn't come back void. It accomplishes what it is intended to accomplish. So let me finish reading now. I'll read from verse 15 to 21, and we'll close with our third point. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. I'm going to stop there. We've already looked at the other part. All right, we might think on first glance, and some do, that we're talking about sharing the gospel here, but I don't think that's what it's saying. It's being related to this parable and to the mystery of this parable. He speaks the parables, that those with receiving hearts will receive them, that those with rejecting hearts will be rejected. This is all God's plan. You've read Romans 9 through 11, I presume. It's challenging. God's plan, all that he's called, all that he has elected from before the foundation of the world, they will hear the gospel, they will receive the gospel. There are means to his ends. We preach the gospel, we read, and yet some hear the word and reject it. And the parables start dividing the sheep and the goats. There's heaven and hell. You're either for Jesus or against him. There's no middle ground.
And so, one reason that I'm preaching this today is that as I read forward and was thinking about, okay, what am I going to do next as I then plan for a new series this fall, and I read it and I sort of saw it kind of with new eyes for me. It sounds kind of troubling. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. That relates a little bit to that parable of the talents, doesn't it? The two that, you know, invest their talents in faith receive more. The one who says, well, you're just a taskmaster. I knew that you're a hard man. I just hid mine. He said, well, why didn't you at least invest it? And he says, he cast him out. So what he has is taken away. He's cast out. The other two receive more. Well, another way of thinking of this that I just realized that one pastor asked a friend from England who had been preaching throughout the end of the 20th century into the 21st century. And he said, he was just asking him to reflect on his ministry there and to just tell him what it was like. What changes had he seen? And he said, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said, it seems that the culture has even forgotten even their memory of us being a place where God's law, where God's ways, where God's precepts kind of undergirded our cultural life. They don't even remember. And now we call it, what do we not call it? If y'all listen, Europe. We call it post-Christian now, don't we? Even what these generations who have rejected the gospel, who have left the church, who have left the Lord, now even what they had, at least a Christian kind of culture that would have, you know, the rule of law. We're now experiencing that, aren't we? In our country. Aren't we seeing that? There's young people today. There's young adults who, they have no clue that we don't murder because we're made in God's image. That we don't steal somebody else's stuff because, you know, we have dignity. Human beings have dignity, and we own property, and we take care of one another, and we respect the boundaries of a family and of a community and of a business. Even what you had is taken away. Does that make sense? I mean, this is so. That's what he's saying about his word. He's given us clarity here. There's an expectation of this word. Literally, in the Greek, I'm not very good at Greek, so I get other pastors to help me with Greek. I was a little better at Hebrew. Verse 18:1, take care then how you hear. Literally, that is, keep your eyes on your ears. Now, physically, that's impossible. But that's what it says literally. Keep your eyes on your ears. When you hear the word, you're now under the authority of the word. Receive it or reject it. This is why my mentor Al Baker goes out and I sometimes with him and preaches to people as they walk by. It's God's word. His hope is that that word will go in. Maybe later on it takes root. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we read God's word, I hope you're all reading it. We all have Bibles with various translations. As you study together in Sunday school, as you join together in small groups or in your own home, keep your eyes on your ears. Let's listen faithfully. God's word is powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And it's also our light. That light, it lights our path. And it's something we can hide in our heart that we may not sin against God.
Father, we thank you for this parable. I thank you for teaching me a lot more about it this last week or so than I ever knew. I pray now that your word would not come back void, but even today, that you would strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. May your word not come back void, but accomplish all that you would have it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.